Our reading today is taken from the book of Ruth, chapter 2. In the opening verses of this chapter, we read these words: "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came, and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my ravens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." And we'll end the reading there at the verse 9. We're coming to our second study in the second chapter of the book of Ruth, and we want just to seek the Lord for a moment of prayer and ask again the Lord will bless his word to our hearts today. Heavenly Father, we thank thee today. We can bow before thee in prayer. In the name of thy Son, Lord Jesus, we give thee thanks again for thy word. And we thank thee that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for us in that spiritual aspect of our lives, the most important aspect of our lives. We thank thee that it is through the knowledge of thy word that we come to understand our sin and our need of salvation and the way of salvation. And we thank thee when we've experienced salvation that through thy word we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior. So we pray that thy word will be profitable to our souls today, to all who will hear thy word proclaimed. Lord, come, speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The opening verse of Ruth chapter 2 introduces us to the man called Boaz. We learn in this opening verse of chapter 2 that Boaz was a kinsman of Naomi's late husband, and he was a mighty man of wealth. And why Boaz has not been mentioned in the opening chapter of the book of Ruth, and why this book is named after Ruth, it is true to say that Boaz is really the most important character in the record of this book, because he is a type or a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus himself. Now, in every part of the Word of God, we are called to look for the Savior. The Lord Jesus himself in John 5 verse 39 during his earthly ministry, he said, Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. There is in the person of Boaz and the details recorded concerning his life important teachings concerning the Lord Jesus. In process of time, Boaz would marry Ruth, and he would perform the duty of what was known as the kinsman redeemer. That action pictures what Christ the Redeemer has done and does for his people who he saves and takes into a spiritual relationship with himself. To understand the law concerning the kinsman redeemer, we must turn to Leviticus chapter 25 and the verse 25, and also to Deuteronomy 25, the verses 5 to 10. And if you take the time to read those passages, you will discover, first of all, in Leviticus 25 and 25, that if one of the people of Israel became so poor that they had to sell land and property, or even sell themselves as a slave, the kinsman redeemer was a relative who bought back or redeemed the land or the person on their behalf. Another part of the duty of the kinsman redeemer was connected to a man in Israel dying and leaving behind a widow and no children. The kinsman redeemer was required to marry the widow and raise up the firstborn child in the name of the deceased husband. Boaz, as we read this book of Ruth, would marry Ruth and they would have a son. Boaz would also buy back the land which had belonged to Elimelech. Now here in Ruth 2 in verse 1, only a few details are given concerning Boaz, but they are sufficient to prove that he had the qualifications to be the kinsman redeemer. He was the kinsman of Naomi's husband, of the family of Elimelech. He was a mighty man of wealth, and so was able to buy back or redeem the land. These details present Boaz as a type of the Lord Jesus. There is a parallel regarding the qualifications which Christ had to redeem his people from their sins. The eternal Son of God became near of kin to us at his incarnation when he took to himself a human body and a sinless nature, alongside his divine nature. Hebrews 2 verses 14 and 15 tell us that he did not take to himself the nature of angels, but he took upon himself even our nature. Let me read you these verses for a moment in Hebrews chapter 2, which set before us how the Lord Jesus became near of kin to us. Hebrews 2 and the verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the seed, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The Lord Jesus was able to redeem us from our sin. He was able to pay the price of redemption when he shed his blood and offered up himself as the sacrifice for sin, and of course arose again from the dead. And today he is still able to save. He is still willing to save every sinner who will turn from sin and trust in him for salvation. In so many other details, Boaz points us to Christ. And today, for a little time, we want to come to the opening verses of this chapter, and we want to consider the relationship between Boaz and the reapers of his harvest. And in doing so, we will draw a parallel with the relationship between the Lord Jesus and his people. The first thing we note is the presence of Boaz among his reapers. Here in Ruth chapter 2, verse 4, we read, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem." Even that little detail points forward to Christ. He would come in to this word in that same place, Bethlehem. "Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee." Boaz came to his reapers with kind and gracious words. He said to them, "The Lord be with you." And the reapers replied, "The Lord bless thee." Boaz had come to see how his reapers were getting on in the harvest. In verse 5, he spoke unto his servant that was set over the reapers. We learn then that even when Boaz was not there in person among his reapers, in the field he had his representative, this servant that was set over the reapers. The presence of Boaz among his reapers points us to the presence of Christ amongst people as we sow and reap in the great spiritual harvest. Christ is in the midst of his church. When the Lord Jesus was here upon earth in the body, in that sense, he was present with his people in a bodily sense. And when he was about to ascend back to his Father in heaven, as a resurrected Christ, although he would not be present in a bodily manner among his people, as they continued to reap the spiritual harvest, he was able to say to his disciples in Matthew 28, verse 20, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Because Christ would still be with them by his spiritual presence. He had told them that he would pray the Father, and the Father would send to them the Holy Spirit. The Father would send another comforter. And of course that happened on the day of Pentecost. And for every saved sinner today, the Spirit of Christ dwells within us. We have therefore the presence of Christ with us. The words which Boaz spoke to his reapers when he came among them, saying, "The Lord be with you," reminds me of the Lord Jesus in Luke 24 and the verse 50. Before he ascended to heaven, he lifted up his hands and he blessed his disciples. We have the presence of Christ with us as we seek to sow and reap in the spiritual harvest. In Matthew 9 and the verse 36, and we'll mention this portion a little later under the next heading, but in Matthew 9 and the verse 36, as the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples, we read first of all concerning him that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." So just as we have the presence of Boaz among his reapers, so there it was the Lord of the harvest, the Lord Jesus, that was speaking to his disciples about the spiritual harvest and indeed for laborers. Maybe as you listen today, you are all saved and out of Christ. You're like those multitudes the Lord Jesus looked out upon. You are as a sheep without a shepherd, no shepherd for your soul, no savior. Therefore, you do not have the presence of Christ with you. You have not the assurance of being in his presence after death. You need to seek him as your savior and come to know him as your savior and come to have his presence with you, his spirit within you, by asking him for forgiveness and salvation. So we have the presence of Boaz among his reapers here in Ruth 2. But then I want you to think about the people who were the reapers of Boaz. Because here in this passage, as you read Ruth chapter 2, verses 4 to 7, the people who were working for Boaz, they are described as reapers. They're working in the field of Boaz. They are reaping his harvest. These reapers can be considered by drawing the parallel with the people of God laboring in the field of this world as workers in the spiritual harvest. We are all workers for God if we're saved, in our witness, in our prayer life. And as souls are brought into the kingdom of God by trusting in Christ, we have a part to play. Whether it be the preacher preaching, the missionary, Sunday school teacher, the children's worker, but every child of God, as we seek to witness to others, as we seek to share the gospel, as we seek to live Christ before others, as we pray for the preaching of God's word, as we pray for the local congregation, as we pray for the missionary, as we support financially the work of our local congregations and the work of our missionaries, we are involved in the spiritual harvest. And some of us may have the privilege of personally leading others to the Savior. These reapers working for Boaz were marked by unity, working together alongside one another, working for a common cause. They had a great reverence for Boaz, as comes out in their reply to his greeting in chapter 2, verse 4, where they said, "The Lord bless thee." They were also marked by perseverance, because in verse 21 of the chapter, we read of how Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "He," that is Boaz, "said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all thy harvest." Boaz expected his reapers to persevere until all the harvest was gathered in. And again, we can draw a parallel as we consider the people of God, those who have trusted Christ as Savior, laboring in the spiritual harvest field of the Word, whether it be in your family circle, in your home, in your neighborhood, in the workplace, in the local congregation, or those who go with the gospel to other parts of the world. You know, there needs to be unity of mind and purpose in this labor. Only God can save souls and bring about that harvest. But we all have a part to play as God's people by prayer, as we say it, by our giving, by our witnessing, by our support of the local congregation. There needs to be that unity of purpose. In John chapter 4 and the verse 35, when the Lord Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he said to them, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." See the unity that the Lord Jesus speaks about? He talks, yes, about those who reap, they receive wages, they gather fruit unto life eternal. But he says both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. There's to be a unity in the sowing and in the reaping of the spiritual harvest. Verse 37 of John 4, the Lord Jesus went on, and herein is that saying true: one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labor. So whether it be the one who sows or the one who reaps, there is to be that unity of mind and purpose in the great spiritual harvest, in the work of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul was writing to a congregation in Corinth where there was much disunity, and he was obviously encouraging them to be united in their labors for the Lord, as they were involved in the great spiritual harvest. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he rebuked them. He said, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gives to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." So the great spiritual harvest, only God can save souls. Only God can bring about the harvest. One may plant the seed, another may water, but God is the one who gives the harvest. Therefore, we must be united as his instruments as we seek to labor for the Lord. Just as those laborers of Boaz and his harvest field would have had to be united in their labors, so we are laborers together with God, and we must labor in unity. When Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, he also exhorted them to have that unity of mind and purpose as they labored for the Lord. He encouraged them right through the letter, but in chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 27, he wrote, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent,
I may hear of your affairs that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. One mind, one spirit, one purpose. But in our labors for the Lord, there needs to be reverence for the Lord of the harvest, just as those laborers in Boaz's harvest, they had a good reverence for him. So we must have a reverence for the Lord himself. We've already mentioned Matthew chapter 9, the verses 36 to 38, where the Lord Jesus is set before us as the one who had compassion on the multitudes. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd for their souls. And he instructed his disciples to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest. As the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. In the very next chapter, the Lord Jesus called the 12 disciples, giving them power, and sending them forth to preach. And we are to have that reverence, to obey the directions of the Lord as we seek to fulfill the Great Commission as he has laid down in his word and for his glory. And again, just as the laborers who labored in the harvest field of Boaz were to persevere to the end of the harvest, so in our witness, in our labors, in our prayers, in our preaching, as we sow in the great spiritual harvest and hope to reap the harvest, we are to persevere until the day God either calls us to be with him in death, or until that day when Christ returns. Someday the final harvest will be gathered in. The word of God is to be preached in season and out of season, whether people will hear or whether they will reject. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 calls us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labours are not in vain in the Lord. As we conclude our message today, I exhort you in the words of the hymn writer to work, for the night is coming, to work through the morning hours, to work while the dew is sparkling, to work mid spring flowers. Work when the day grows brighter under the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming when man's work is done. If you're listening today and you're unsaved and out of Christ, you know the final harvest of rejecting Christ and his salvation is a lost eternity. I would say to you, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Turn from your sins even this day and trust in Christ for salvation. May God bless his word to our hearts today, and thank you for taking time to listen.